Psalm 27, and we're going to look at the entire psalm, but we're going to look for our subject matter in verse 3. Let's read this psalm, Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy path, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We'll look at the subject tonight on my heart shall not fear. My heart shall not fear. As we look at this psalm, we find that David is committed to overcoming his fears. We find that in verse 3. Where David says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. So he was resolved. He was resolved to overcome and not be fearful in the midst of all the things that were going on in his life. His resolve, of course, was rooted in the person and the work of the Lord Himself. If you'll notice, as he starts out, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And he asked a rhetorical question, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Because of who the Lord is and because of what the Lord is to the believer, David had no reason to fear. So his resolve to have no fear in his heart was rooted in the person and the work of the Lord Himself. And he encouraged himself in the psalm by the past works of the Lord. As he would reflect upon this, he says in verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. I couldn't help but think about old Goliath in that verse. Now here, David, the Bible doesn't tell us what point in time this is in David's life. It appears to be at least sometime after this event of Goliath, and we don't even know if David is on the throne yet as king, but we know that ultimately he would be that way. But as David would reflect, sometime maybe in his middle life, as he would reflect upon what the Lord had done for him, he says this, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. And that's exactly what Goliath did. They stumbled and fell. So he reflected upon how God had delivered him and how God had been a shield to him. So he encouraged himself in the past works of the Lord. And thereby, in verse 3, which we come to our text and the subject matter for us tonight, is he was committed not to fear. And so no matter what happened, he would find solace in the Lord. For he says in verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He would trust the Lord, and he would trust the Lord's promises, and he would seek the Lord, and by doing so, he wouldn't fear. Now, as we think about this tonight, and we think about the subject matter of this psalm, fears can be dealt with in a biblical, God-honoring way. And the people of God do not have to be overtaken by their fears. They do not have to be overtaken by the fears of the enemy. They do not have to be taken over by the fears of the sin that so easily besets us as believers. But in all times, under all circumstances, we can, as God's people, be committed to not fearing. David committed to overcoming his fears. We find that as you think about this and think about David, David is a man in the text that is pursued by his enemies. He is shut out from the house of the Lord. He has been parted from by his father and mother, and he is subjected to slander. So if you look at that, you see this, and some have compared this time in David's life to 1 Samuel 21, 22, and 23, and that time frame in his life when he was on the run from Doeg, the Edomite. And he is, of course, in that context, pursued by his enemies. He's away from the house of the Lord, even though in heart he's committed to the house of the Lord. He's committed to the Lord's sacrifice, the Lord's provision. And, of course, he's forsaken by his mother and father. They have to leave because of all the uproar that's going on in the kingdom. And you can read about that. I'll not go there, but it's a good read when you go over to 1 Samuel 22, 23, and 24. But you'll notice he even mentions this in verse 10 where he says, "When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." So whether he's talking about that time or reflecting on it, I don't know. But it's interesting that he brings these events up, like the event of Goliath and the pursuit of his enemies. And here, even though he's away from family or reflecting on the fact that he's away from those that he loved and held dear in his life, he still wasn't going to fear. There are a lot of things that would move us to fear. And so we must be committed in heart to the Lord and to trust him in all that he is doing in our life. So fears can be dealt with in a biblical, God-honoring way. And David, all throughout the Psalms, you find that David is repeatedly, as a man, he's repeatedly faced with different fears. For if you will, in Psalm 34, whenever he has the fear of death, he says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And so as he would go to the Lord in prayer, the fact is, and I wanted to point this scripture out, is he had fears to be delivered from. So he's committed not to fear, though fears arise and they come up in his life. And so he says, "I'm committed to not fear." But in Psalm 34, he says, "The Lord's delivered me from," or out of, the word "from" there meaning out of, "all my fears." Not that he didn't have them. He had them and had to deal with them. And so as believers, we will be faced with different fears and we'll have to overcome them. In the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 31, just back over Psalm 31 and verse 9, here again in David's life, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." So all way down to the deepest parts of the region of David's soul and the innermost part of his being, he had fears. David, this great warrior, the great King David, the man who went up against Goliath, wasn't a man who was, you know, exempt from fearing. He was just like a man like we are. And, you know, we read the Bible stories and we think about all the victories that these men have. Sometime it kind of slips through the cracks and they're just men. David was just a man. He had fears, and we have those kind of fears. We fear, you know, what's going to happen. We live in a country in turmoil, and we think, well, what's going to happen to me, and what's going to happen to my family, and what's going to, you know, we rely on, most people in here are older, and they rely on getting their, you know, their income from the government because they paid into the system, and they may think about, well, what's going to happen if that all falls apart? We don't have to fear any of that. Because the Lord has taught us in His Word that He will provide for His people. And this is what I want you to see out of this. My heart, I am committed. My heart, my inward, my affections, because of what the Lord is to me and because of what He's promised me, I don't have to rely on anything or anyone. I rely on Him. And therefore, I shall not fear. David was confronted with fears and troubles in his life, as it says there in Psalm 31. If you'll drop down in verse 13, he says there in Psalm 31, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life." But you know what David says? "But I trusted in Thee, O Lord." I said, "Thou art my God." So fears can be dealt with, and David faced them. And here, when we come back to our psalm in Psalm 27, David is, as he does in his course of life, when fears arise, when they're on every side, he commits himself to the Lord and strengthens himself in the Lord. Fear, beloved, is a great enemy that can and often does plague the hearts of God's people. It is a great enemy. And you keep your hand here, but in the book of the Proverbs, in Proverbs 29, we find this truth that fear is something that we have to deal with, and it is often a trap that Satan sets for his people. I mean, for the Lord's people. Satan sets a trap for the Lord's people. And if he can get you to fear what's going on in your life, fear the circumstances that you're going through, as opposed to having faith in God, then he's got you in a good place for himself and a bad place for you. In the book of Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare. Whoso putteth his trust to the Lord shall be safe." Fear is a trap. When we talk about fear, we're of course talking about ungodly fear. We're not talking about fearing God. The Bible speaks about fearing God in a good way. But we're talking about fearing man, fearing Satan, fearing circumstances, fearing crises that come up in our life. And ungodly fear, the fear of man in the text, is a trap. You know, it will move you to do unwise things. It will move you to do unbiblical things. It will move you to man-pleasing. It'll move you to situational ethics. It'll move you to hypocrisy. Ungodly fear is one of the greatest hindrances in man's working for God, the people of God working for God. The fear of man will bring a snare and it'll keep you from doing right. It'll trap you in disobedience. And if you're not careful, beloved, it'll kill you. It'll keep you away from obedience to God. It'll, you know, the one reason, of course, that we do not witness and do not serve God the way that we should is because we're afraid of what somebody's going to think about us, or afraid of what somebody's going to say about us. So the fear of man, the fear of conflict, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of persecution keeps the saints of God down. David, when we come in our text in Psalm 27, he says, "My heart's not going to fear." He could say this, "I'm not going to fear man. I'm not going to fear conflict. I'm not going to fear rejection. I'm not going to fear failure. I'm not going to fear persecution. I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to fear God. I'm going to trust Him." And so with that tonight, I want to look at this for us to encourage our hearts together. My heart shall not fear. As we look at this, we see it laid out here in the psalm, we must learn that there is power over our fears, and David identifies them right here in this psalm. The first one is our resource. So I want you to recognize, and David wants us to recognize our resource. At first, as I was going through this outline, I said, recognize your resources. That was plural. And I said, no, that's wrong. It's not resources, it's a resource. And the resource is the Lord Himself. And every resource in relationship to the Lord, whether it be prayer or trust, it all resonates back to the Lord. And so we must recognize that we as God's people have a resource that the world does not have. We have an advantage. Now, I said Sunday that we have an advantage over the world. We have an advantage because we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. We have an advantage. We have an advantage. And here we recognize, David recognized, and so as he starts out, as we said, his resolve to not fear is rooted in the person and the work of the Lord Himself. The Lord was David's protection from his enemies. Notice he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David had a lot of enemies. And David did not deserve the enemies that he had. As a matter of fact, when you study the life of David, you'll find that whenever God had anointed David as king or had him anointed as king, and Saul was already the king, Saul went after David with a vehemence because Saul recognized the blessings of the Lord on David. Saul recognized that. It doesn't take long, beloved, for the enemies of God, it doesn't take long for people who have competition to recognize who their competition is. And one reason that the world hates believers is because their competition. You take China, for instance, and the president of China and the crackdown they're having. They fear, those Chinese leaders fear their power. They fear the power of God. And so what they do is, now if you didn't fear, they're fearing the power of God. So they want Christians to fear them. And thank God for the boldness of the folks over there who just don't fear the government. They'll go ahead and preach, and they'll go ahead and read their Bibles, and they do the things that they need to do because they don't fear what man's going to do to them. But the fact is that it's competition. Satan has competition, and the world has competition, and beloved, we're going to be victorious. I mean, it's already in the book. We're already victorious. So it's foolish. It'd be foolish for us to fear. So David had the Lord Himself as his resource. And notice the way that David speaks about the Lord in the areas, or if you might say the attributes of the resources at our disposal. First of all, the Lord is a light. It says, the Lord is my light. It's very personal, David says this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord was a light to guide David. Now, we live in a world of darkness. And darkness, it breeds. In darkness, there's confusion. In darkness, there's misunderstanding. I remember Brother Gore telling, I believe it was my wife, about when he and Sister Gore were courting each other. And anyway, he'd gone over to do some work for her, and I think this was how the story goes. And anyway, he was in the dark. And she slipped her hand in to turn the light switch on, and he put his hand on her hand. And of course, that sent her into your shock waves, you know. Who's this grabbing my hand in the dark? And so in the darkness, there is uncertainty. But we're not in darkness. We have the Lord as our light. And if you're in the Word of God, the Bible says that not only do you have the Lord Himself, but His Word is light. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There is no reason for us to walk around aimlessly like we don't know what's happening. We don't have to fret what's happening in the world scene because we have a book that tells us all the things that happen before they happen. We have it all laid out for us. And so the Lord is our light. And so God is, the Bible says in 1 John 1:5, in the second latter part of that verse, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If tonight you're having a problem seeing clearly about what God is doing, it's because you don't have, the Lord's not functioning, if you will, as a light in your life. You're not looking to Him. All you got to do is go to Him. He's light. In Him there's no darkness at all. He wants us to be able to see what's going on. And so, David says, the Lord's my light. He will show you, if you'll look at Him and listen to what He has to say, He'll show you the enemy. He'll also show you a way of escape. Whatever is going on in your life, He is able to do that. He is, as David said here, He is my light. You know, when men fall into temptation, a lot of times they go into temptation with their eyes shut. Not wide open, but shut. They deliberately shut their eyes and say, well, I don't want to even hear about that. And then they go off into temptation. They yield to temptation. But the Lord always, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, always makes a way of escape. There is no temptation, whether it be evil solicitation, or whether it be the trials that come in our life. You know, remember, that's what temptation are in the Scripture. It can be evil solicitation or trials that come in our life. That there's always a way of escape. And when we think about trials, you know, someone goes through a trial in their life and they say, well, I don't know how this situation is going to go through. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. Well, of course you do. If you're not at face value and you believe what God says. God says over there in Romans, all things work together for good, right? Do you believe that? See, that's a question. Light in the Word of God says He's working for your good. The devil said, He's not working for your good. If He loved you, He wouldn't be doing this. But light says, oh yes, He is working for your good. I believe what He says. And so as we were going through cancer, that's what got me through cancer. Romans 8:28 is just as true when I had cancer as when I don't have cancer. All things work together for good. Had He not delivered me from it, it would have still been good. Whatever He does is good. See, our God is always doing good for us, even we don't understand what He's doing. Like in whenever Job was going through his trial, and Job, God wouldn't talk to Job. Remember, we showed you this over in the book of Job. God wasn't talking to Job. That was the whole point of the book. When God's silent, when God's not saying anything, you can still trust Him. And God doesn't say anything to the very end of the book. And Job says, if I could only find Him, that I could put my case before Him. He says, and then he asks a question. He says, will He use His power against me? I believe it's in Job 27. I can't stand to be corrected on that place, but I know what it says. And what he says was that He won't use His power against me. No, He won't use it against me. How do we know that? We have the Word of God to teach us that. So God is light. In all situations, God is light. He casts light on the situation. He gives us a direction. And so David says, this is a power over fear. One power over fear is knowledge. That's a power over fear. And so God is light. He shows you. Not only that, but also you see here that the Lord is not only our light, but He's our salvation to deliver us from all our troubles. He has promised to deliver us. And we are to seek His way and trust Him to deliver us. And when David was going through the situations in his life, it didn't matter what it was. He knew if he would just lean on what God had taught him, he knew that no matter what happened, the Lord was going to deliver him. David had seen it as a boy when he was delivered out of the hand of a bear and lion, and we actually rescued a little lamb from each of those creatures. And then as he was delivered out of the hand of Goliath, and over again, God showed His deliverance or His salvation. And of course, we know that very personally in the salvation of our souls. And then he recognized the resource that the Lord is our strength. I think this is really, beloved, where we get in trouble when we think that we can do things our way, that we're strong enough to handle matters. We're not strong enough to handle things. The Lord is our strength. We're not our own strength. We're not our own light. We would be in darkness if it weren't for the Lord. We cannot deliver ourselves, so we are not our own salvation. The Lord is our salvation, and He is our strength. No one, therefore, has more power than you have at your disposal. Now, you think about this with me. Though you are not your own strength, the Lord is your strength. And because He is your strength, and He is the omnipotent God of the Bible, He's the omnipresent God of the Bible, and He's the all-knowing God of the Bible, and because of that, all that He is at your disposal. Think about it. So when David says here, the Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? That's why Stonewall Jackson, whenever he was battling during the Civil War, could mount his horse and stand there when bullets flew around him. He said, you know, his days were marked out. And one bullet that was going to get him till God's time. Nothing's going to take us out until God's time. And then when it's God's time, we don't, it's not an over thing. It's just another chapter in God's work in our life. We don't have to fear. He's our strength. But more importantly than that, listen to this, beloved. No one has more power than you do. And that teaches us this truth. If you will, in Romans 6:14. Though we deal with sin, and oh, how we deal with it in our lives, we have our own personal sin to deal with. We don't even worry about the sin around us and the sin that affects us from other folks. But our own personal nature, our old nature, and the sin that we have to deal with, and the constant warfare that we're to be engaged in as believers, sometimes we feel like it's going to get the best of us. But ultimately it can't. The book of Romans says, in verses Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. But I want you to know, beloved, here's a wonderful text to show you the power of God in your life. See, the Lord is your strength. And because He is your strength, sin shall not have dominion over you. That means even though you have an old nature, and even though you yield to the flesh, which you shouldn't do, and we know that right here. He says, shall we then sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Well, God forbid. He's not teaching us to sin. He's just teaching us this wonderful truth that sin doesn't have the power. You know who has the power? Christ has the power. Christ has the power to overcome. So that's why we go to Him. So whenever you're faced with sinning, when you're faced with decisions on, am I going to do this? God says, don't do it. My conscience is bothering me. The Word of God's bothering me. The Holy Ghost is bothering me. He's convicting me. What shall I do? Well, I'm weak. What shall I do? Well, I go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I need Your help. You're my strength. Give me strength not to do this. Give me strength to live for You. Strengthen me in the inner man. Help me have power over the flesh. The Lord is our strength. It shall not have dominion over us. Now listen, not only that, but neither shall the world nor the devil have dominion over us. 1 John 4:4. We must learn that we have power, that there is power over our fears of uncertainty, the fears that plague us, and that resource is the Lord Himself as our light to direct our way, as our salvation to deliver us out of all the troubles that we face, and as our strength. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, we find a truth. I was going to quote it, but I wanted to read it. We are of God, little children. That means we belong to Him. That means that what He has is for us. We're His. We are of God, little children, and have overcome them. That is the spirits, the evil spirits that are in this world. Because greater is He that is in you. It's not because of your wit that you can overcome the world, nor the powers that be. The reason you can overcome the world and have already overcome the world is because greater is He that's in you. He is your strength. So I'm not an intellectual, Brother Shepherd. I can't go up against great intellectuals. If I went up against this great intellectual and tried to confuse me about God and the Bible, I couldn't defeat him. No, you couldn't. But you got a Bible and you got a God, and He'll give you. The Bible teaches us here that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And because of that, I say this, the devil and the world cannot have dominion over us. James 4 and verse 7 also teaches this. So what are we to do when the devil comes against us? And he will. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, somebody might try to resist the devil and he don't flee right then. Well, you know, the Lord was tempted three times. He was in the wilderness for 40 days. And while he was there, Satan was constantly tempting him. And we know that he tempted him in three areas. You think he left right at the first one? No, he just had another one. Then he had another one. But finally, he left. And you know what the Lord, what Jesus' resource was? It was the word of the Lord. He was strengthened. As a man, he was strengthened. The devil cannot have dominion over us if we apply the word of God. If we draw nigh to God and we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Ephesians speaks of it this way. I'm just showing you to recognize that you have resources at your fingertips to give you victory. And if you're defeated tonight and you live in fear and depression and you have great anxiety and you don't know what to do and how to trust, you've got a great God and you're to trust in Him. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, we find this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil has many wiles, and you can stand against them if you'll do what God says here, and that is, first of all, stand in the power of God. Of His might. That's what David did. David said, the Lord is my strength. The strength of my life is actually what he said. My life. Of whom shall I fear? So recognize your resource. Secondly, seek your resource. Not only recognize it, I mean, it's... Say, yep, the Lord's my light. The Lord's my salvation. The Lord's my strength. What do you do about it? Yeah, well, Brother Shepherd, we know the Lord's sovereign. I mean, He's in control of everything. I mean, He's God. What do you do about it? David sought this resource. He did not just... When we read Psalm 27, this is just not an intellectual assent where David says, these things are so, and then he just passes by them. David goes to the resource. Not only does he state his claim and say, the Lord is this, the Lord is this, and notice very carefully that he's this to me. He's my light. He's my salvation. He is my strength. What am I going to do about it? Well, verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. So David, to seeking this, he's seeking his resource. And David sought protection from the Lord in the Lord's house. And I believe if you look at this in the context, he's talking about the place of sacrifice. Because later on he says in verse 6, "And now shall mine head be lifted above my enemies round about me." Even when the enemies were there, David said, "My head's lifted up above them." "Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Verse 5 he says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." So, of course, the secret place is the most holy place. You would have to study this out. It would be a longer lesson on this. But the most holy place is where the sacrifice, the blood of the sacrifice was made, where God gave out mercy. And what David's saying is all my enemies are trying to destroy me, but I know that there's blood in the mercy seat, and that God does have mercy for me, and that He will protect me, and He'll hide me there, hide me in His pavilion, hide me in His place of sacrifice. As it says in other places, where He'll put His wings over me. That's the wings of the cherubs. All speaking about how David was safe and secure with the Lord. You'll notice in verse 4, there are three things that David wanted. He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord. You know why he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord? Now we're talking about, in David's time, we're talking about the Old Testament house of the Lord, the tabernacle. You know why he wanted to dwell there? Because the Lord was there. Simply, that's it. He wanted to be where the Lord was. And even when he was on the run from Doeg, even when he was on the run from Saul, even later on in his life when he was, on the run from his son, whenever his son took over the kingdom, David said when he left, in heartbroken, he said, "The Lord just let me come back." You know why? Because he wanted to be where the Lord was. The Lord had the Lord's everywhere, Brother Shepherd. Yes, but He has a special presence in His house. In the Old Testament, that special presence was in the most holy place. And even though David, who was king, could never actually go into the most holy place, he was there. He looked to the holy place by faith just like we do. None of you have ever been to heaven. None of you have ever seen the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but you believe it by faith. And David, he said, "I just want to be where God is. I want to be in His protection. I want to be under His care. I don't want to be a free spirit doing whatever I want to do. I want to be where God is." So he sought his resource to dwell where the Lord is, and secondly, to behold the Lord. That's what it says there in verse 4. "I will seek after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty." There's this purpose here. I want to be where the Lord is, and the reason I want to be where He is I have a purpose for being there. I may see the beauty of the Lord. So the purpose of being where the Lord is that he might behold the Lord. Get another glimpse of the Lord. You know, that's why you come to church. I'm hoping I'm painting you a picture tonight. One purpose, and the house of the Lord in this dispensation is a local church. One reason that you come to the Lord's house is that you might be where the Lord is, and secondly, that you might behold Him. That is, you might learn of Him, know more about Him, to look at Him, to learn of Him. And then the third thing he said there was to inquire, which means to ask. Say, "Well, I wonder what this means. I wonder what this means, Lord." To inquire of the Lord. He sought His resource. Not only that, but not only did he seek protection from the Lord in his house, but he also went to the Lord in prayer. In verses 7 and 8 it says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." Not only did he ask for things, but he also sought answers to his questions. So I got a lot of questions, Brother Shepherd. Well, have you asked the Lord about them? A lot of things going on in my life. I don't know what the Lord's doing in my life. Well, have you asked Him what He's doing in your life? I mean, not just in your mind. I mean, to sit down and say, "Lord, what are You doing? How are You going to work this out? here's what I'd like. He says here, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me. That's a request. And then he says, and answer me. Then verse 8, and when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart's in thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So he cried to the Lord. The Lord begged him to cry. The Lord said, hey, seek my face. And David says, boy, you know, that's a wonderful thing, an invitation from the Lord to come seek him. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to seek his face. Which means, I believe, the good favor of the Lord. And then, thirdly, he sought the Lord's ways. Because in the end, we know about our ways. And prayer and not fearing is not about us. It's about the Lord and His way. So he says in verse 11, teach me, here's one of his prayers, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I'll tell you what, whenever your enemies come, and they can be men, they can be circumstances, they can be difficulties that you're facing, and you just don't know what to do or which direction to go. So what do? You say, Lord, I need direction from you. Give me a plain path. My enemies want me to be confused, but I want a plain path your way. And then rest. The third thing is, we must learn, this is the power. Recognize your resources, your resource. Seek your resource, and then rest in it, which is resting in Him. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. Boy, that's assurance, isn't it? That's David just laying hold to the promises of God, and he says, whenever I have trouble, guess what's going to happen? Because I am recognizing my resource, I'm seeking my resource, well, I'll just rest in Him. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's right there. David says, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. And then wait. Rest in your resource. Sometime it says, as is in verse 13, that you don't get direction immediately. He didn't show you the exact way right then. David says in conclusion here, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not that he saw it, but he believed to see it. That's where faith comes in. Because sometimes you don't see things clearly now. But you believe to see them. Why do you believe to see them? Because the Lord said He's going to show them to you. He's going to give you what you need if you will do this simple thing. It's so simple. I don't know why we, I say we because I know how I am. I don't know why we just can't trust the Lord. Why can't we just trust the Lord? Why can't we believe that He is what He says He is to us? Why don't we seek Him? David said, I had fainted unless. A lot of, you know what happens to a lot of believers? They faint. They actually do faint. They're overcome with their fears. They're overcome with their troubles, their trials. They overcome them. And they just, in despair, faint. But they don't have to. If they have faith, they won't. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We must not fear our circumstances. We must not fear men. We must not fear what folks say. We must not fear death or sickness. We must say, heart, you just trust in the Lord. My heart shall not fear. Why not? Because I'm going to recognize my resource. I'm going to seek my resource. And I'm going to rest in Him. May the Lord bless you with that. And may you come to know the truth even deeper than you've ever known it as He works in your life for your good and His glory. Thank you for your attention to God's Word tonight.